down upon the ground, press my face against you, till my heart it rises over. As the weed it bows down low, and all the wind blows, and you'll be for the one.
Of my soul, till all I know is You know, even in the midst of the pandemic, you know, the church has figured out a way to be able to continue to do the things that God has called us to do, which is to come together and to praise His holy name.
Aunque el pandémico nos ha llegado, pero sabemos que hemos encontrado diferentes maneras en poder a poder juntarnos en el nombre de Cristo y alabar su nombre, ¿verdad?
Last week, Pastor Ron spoke on courage. He used the Wizard of Oz as the backdrop. And do you remember when he said courage? How did he say it?
Courage,
right? And he spoke of the cowardly lion and how he had to work through a lot of things in his journey. And then he went through scripture. He looked at the woman with the issue of blood and the disciples' reaction of seeing Jesus walking on the water. And I'm going to continue that theme he shared by focusing on fear.
En la semana pasada, el pastor Ron habló sobre el valor. Usó el mago de Oz como telón de fondo. Habló del león cobarde y de la Biblia. Habló también de la mujer con flujo de sangre y habló de la erección de los discípulos al ver a Jesús caminando sobre el agua. Continuaré con el tema que compartió concentrándome en el miedo.
You see, fear itself is not a bad thing, for God Himself has designed us to have this powerful emotion to protect us from harm's way. Fears can keep us from making unwise decisions. They can help us succeed in life.
El miedo en sí no es algo malo, porque Dios mismo nos ha diseñado para tener esta poderosa emoción para protegernos en el camino del daño. Los miedos pueden evitar que tomemos decisiones imprudentes. Pueden ayudarnos a tener éxito en la vida.
Healthy fears and common phobias are two different things, though. Healthy fear keeps you alive and well, alert, and organized. Unhealthy fear can cause paralysis and suffering and can develop into common phobias.
Los miedos saludables y las fobias comunes son dos cosas diferentes. El miedo saludable lo mantiene vivo y sano, alerta y con energía. El miedo malsano puede causar parálisis y sufrimiento y puede convertirse en fobias comunes.
The effects of fear is a major factor in how we experience fear has to do with the context. When our thinking brain gives feedback to our emotional brain, we perceive ourselves to being in a safe space. We can then quickly shift the way we experience that high arousal state, going from one of fear to one of enjoyment or excitement. It's like the difference between entering a haunted house or walking at night down a dark alley. Both cause us to have certain emotions of some fear, but then when we understand the context, I'm just going into a haunted house, you expect something to jump out, something to happen. And so, yet, there's chemicals that go on in our brain and our minds, and it causes us to have these different feelings and thoughts and things that go through us. And so there are good fears, and there are other fears that are not so good. But to know the difference is important.
Los efectos del miedo, un factor importante en cómo experimentamos el miedo, tiene que ver con el contexto. Cuando nuestro cerebro pensante da retroalimentación a nuestro cerebro emocional y nos percibimos como si estuviéramos en un espacio seguro, podemos cambiar rápidamente la forma en que experimentamos ese estado de la alta excitación, pasando de uno de miedo a uno de disfrute o excitación. La diferencia es entre entrar a una casa encantada o caminar de noche por un callejón oscuro.
Sentimos las mismas cosas, pero la diferencia es que sabemos que es lo que va a suceder, ¿verdad?
So we have some learned fears.
It is said that newborns have two fears, loud noises and falling. Babies' brains and nerves grow rapidly in the first 2 years of life, but they are born with very immature nervous systems, says Dr. Brown. This means that they cannot interpret or handle certain sensory input, like loud noises or the feeling of falling.
Los temores aprendidos. Los recién nacidos tienen dos miedos, ruidos fuertes y caídas. El cerebro de los nervios de los bebés crecen rápidamente en los primeros 2 años de vida, pero nacen con sistemas nerviosos muy inmaduros, dice el Dr. Brown. Eso significa que no pueden interpretar o manejar cierta información sensorial, como ruidos fuertes o la sensación de caer.
And so then it goes on from there. We start to look at phobias. There are types of anxiety disorders defined by persistent and excessive fear of an object or situation. And arachnophobia, who's ever heard of that one? It's a fear of spiders. Okay. What about acrophobia? Fear of heights, yes. Cynophobia. Fear of sin? But cynophobia is actually speaking of fear of dogs. I had that growing up as a kid. Agoraphobia. Open spaces. Glossophobia. Another one I had. The fear of public speaking. Atychophobia is the fear of failure. And then thanatophobia is the fear of death. And so there are all these phobias that come up, and those are learned fears, learned phobias as we grow up, and we start to get different phobias or different fears based on some of the experiences that we have.
Las fobias son tipos de trastornos de ansiedad definidos por un miedo persistente y excesivo a un objeto o situación. Aracnofobia es miedo de arañas. Ovidiofobia, serpientes. Acrofobia son alturas. Cinofobia son perros. Agorafobia son espacios abiertos. Glosofobia, hablar en público. Iaticfobia, fracaso. Y tanatofobia, la muerte.
So if someone mentions your appearance, you can tell them this. You can tell them that you have a catoptophobia, which is the fear of mirrors. If you're always late, tell those waiting that you have chronometrophobia, which is the fear of clocks. Some of you may have this, I had this, a phobia when you were younger. Scolionophobia, the fear of school.
Si alguien menciona tu apariencia, dile que tienes catofobia, que es miedo de los espejos. Si siempre llega tarde, dígale que los que esperan que tienes cronopentofobia, que es miedo a los relojes. Algunos de ustedes pueden haber tenido esta fobia cuando eran más jóvenes. Escalonofobia, que es miedo de la escuela.
And yet, even that, with that, you look at medicine, you look at a commercial, and they'll say, you know, take this medicine for this ailment. But you might have, and they'll give you a list of about for 30 seconds of all these horrible things that could happen to you, right? It's like, why in the world would I want to take that medicine? I mean, yeah, it might take away my rash, but I'm going to die, right? And so it's just crazy the way, you know, and some of these things feed into the phobias that we have. We look at news and it has all kinds of horrible things that are happening all over the world. And they just focus on that. And guess who are the people that are giving us the commercials? Bayer. Medicines, you know, it's like, it's a thing, right? It's a setup, not a setup, but it's just happening.
En la medicina, hay posibles efectos secundarios. Puede decir que esta crema puede eliminar la erupción cutánea, pero estos son los efectos secundarios, y hay varios efectos.
In today's world, with the pandemic, the political upheaval, racial division, social unrest, it would be understandable to be fearful. Yet, as Christians, we must keep our hearts and minds on that which is essential for peace within.
En el mundo de hoy, con la pandemia, la agitación política, las divisiones raciales, los disturbios sociales, sería comprensible tener miedo. Sin embargo, como cristianos debemos mantener nuestro corazón y nuestra mente en lo que es esencial para la paz interior. En 2 Timothy 1:10, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." En el 2 Timoteo dice, "Pues Dios nos ha dado un espíritu, no nos ha dado un espíritu de temor y timidez, sino de poder, amor y autodisciplina." And so the spirit of fear speaks of a fearfulness, a cowardice or a timidity, so that we cower and we let our flame that burns inside die down when we're confronted with the prospects of suffering. It happens when we're thinking about what's going to happen to me. And so the scripture said that God didn't give us. We grow that. We develop that in our lives when we start to look at what can happen to me. El espíritu de miedo habla del temor, cobardía o timidez, de modo que nos acordaremos y dejamos de nuestra llama que se apague cuando nos enfrentamos en la perspectiva del sufrimiento. Dios no nos dio este espíritu de miedo, sino muchas veces tenemos este miedo porque estamos pensando de lo que va a suceder a nosotros mismos, ¿verdad? En Psalms 118, 5-7, it says, "In my distress I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me." So we have to have the focus as, well, what can happen to me? What can man do to me? Now, we know physically he can do things, that, you know, mankind can do horrible things to each other, but there's something inside you as Christian that says, this isn't all there is. We're just passing through this place. All of us are going to pass through this place. All of us are going to have a season in the sun, under the sun. But we're going to pass from this place to our eternal destiny. And so we need to have that perspective. We need to look at things through the eyes of God and through those things. And so we have to look at what the scriptures are saying. In Salmos 118:5-7 dice, "En mi angustia, oré al Señor, y el Señor me respondió y me liberó. El Señor está de mi parte, por tanto, no temeré. ¿Qué me puede hacer un simple mortal?" Así es, el Señor está de mi parte. Él me ayudará. Por eso no tenemos que temer las cosas que vienen a frente de nosotros. No tenemos que tener miedo de que el hombre puede ser a nosotros, porque estamos pasando por este mundo al otro. Vamos a tener la vida, tenemos la vida eterna. Esa es la promesa que tenemos. Y sabemos que vamos a pasar de aquí allá. And so because of that, because we know that we pass from this life to the next, the fact that we know that we're just passing through this place, and God has given us the promise of eternal life through the forgiveness of Christ on that cross, we know that we have something that we need. Pastor Ron spoke earlier about this, that we need the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes upon us, he gives us the power to be able to handle whatever crisis, whatever things come our way. Because it starts to change. He starts to renew our minds. We start to think differently about life. We start to think differently about our present because we know what our future is. The power that we have is the way it is described. It's an aggressive energy in the face of difficulty. It is that power that when something difficult comes, it rises up inside you. Can't explain it. It just is. It's the Spirit of God that faces the trials and tribulations and says, I'm still going to pursue. No matter what happens, I'm going to stand up. It is that kind of power that when the Romans were killing the Christians and throwing them into the arenas, and the lions were coming out of their cages,
It was the kind of power that these Christians were either praising God, they had their hands, their arms up in the air, worshiping God in the midst of the lions coming towards them, or they even had people, that was written, that they had people that were running towards the lions. Almost like they were in a race to see who gets to heaven first. That was blowing the minds of the people. They were expecting to see people cowering and running and screaming out and what have you, and these people were either worshiping God or they were actually running at the lions. What happened? Well, there was that power that was inside them. The Spirit of God dwelt in them, gave them the grace to be able to handle whatever's ahead of them, and gave them the mindset to realize, I'm just passing.
Este poder es energía agresiva frente a la dificultad. Que superar la debilidad de la cobardía y permita trabajar, soportar y sufrir y morir si es necesario. Este poder viene del Espíritu Santo. Este poder te da el poder de poder a pelear contra las cosas que de este mundo para poder seguir adelante y no temer. Porque sabes que nomás estás pasando por este mundo y también sabes por la cruz has sido perdonado y seguramente tienes la promesa de la vida eterna. Y por eso no vas a temer. Porque sabes que estás pasando de aquí al otro. Es más, cuando en ese tiempo, en esa temporada, estaban matando a los cristianos y lo ponían en una arena, un lugar donde los mataban los leones. Y los cristianos alababan al Señor mientras que venían los leones. O segundamente, hay algunos cristianos que corrían al león, como si estaban en carrera a llegar a los siglos. So we see that was the first thing that they had. And the second thing is what this was love. He has given us power, love. And this love is, you know what, it's the word agape. It's the selfless love. That self-forgetting love to Christ, the church, and the souls of men, which exhorts, warns, rebukes with boldness and fidelity, at whatever risk of consequences to self. There comes that place that out of love, you do things for people. It's that place where that mom wakes up in the middle of the night and she may be sick herself to tend to her sick child. Now, her body may not feel like getting up, but it's because of her love that compels her to get up to help this little child, her baby, right? It is that love. You know, it's not emotional. It's just a decision. It's a hard decision that we've made that's like, I love this child, and I will dedicate my life to caring for this child or caring for my spouse or caring for my friends or whoever. Este amor se olvida de sí mismo por Cristo y la iglesia y los almas de los hombres. Exhorta, advierte, reprende y con audacia y fidelidad a cualquier riesgo de consecuencias para uno mismo. Este tipo de amor es como un amor que tiene una mamá para su hijo. Este tipo de amor que la mamá se despierta en medio de la noche para ayudar al hijo. Es un amor que no piensa uno en ellos mismos, sino piensan en la otra persona. You see, and then, as Pastor Ron shared, Paul says, power, love, and a sound mind. It is that self-control. It is that self-discipline. It's that exercise of a sane, balanced mind. It is only possible, like he said, through the Spirit. We can't work that up. It's something that has been planted in us through, because he's given us a spirit of power, right, love, and a sound mind. It's through that that we can live this out. Dice, mente sana, nos dan una mente sana, que es autocontrol, autodisciplina, el ejercicio de una mente sana y equilibrada. Mente sana habla, nomás podemos tener esta mente sana porque el Espíritu Santo ha llegado sobre nosotros. El Espíritu Santo es lo que nos da el poder de poder ver las cosas así. Es por medio del Espíritu Santo. It reminds me of a scripture, Romans 8:15. You see, you have not received a spirit that returns you to slavery. So you have nothing to fear. The spirit you have received adopts you and welcomes you into God's own family.
That's why we call out to him, Abba, Father, as we would address a loving daddy. Through that prayer, God's Spirit confirms in our spirits that we are his children. En Romanos, dice, y ustedes no han recibido un espíritu que los esclavice al miedo. En cambio, recibieron el Espíritu de Dios cuando les adoptó como sus propios hijos. Ahora lo llamamos Abba, Padre. Pues su espíritu se une a nuestro espíritu para confirmar que somos hijos de Dios. And so here I'm going to focus on a piece here. It says, the Spirit you have received adopts you and welcomes you into God's own family. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirit joins him in saying the words of tender affection, Beloved Father. See, only because of the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we can go to God, our Father, and say, Beloved, Abba, Dad, Father. En la Escritura dice, cuando Él los adoptó como sus propios hijos. Esto significa que te envuelve en la familia de Dios. Y nunca te sentirás huérfano, porque mientras Él se eleva dentro de nosotros, nuestro espíritu se une a Él para decir las palabras de tierno afecto que dice, Padre amado. And so the key point here is that I am his child, you are his child. He is our beloved Heavenly Father. That's the key point. And because we have a dad, we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us and loves us and has done everything that we needed to be able to go from this life to the next, and to live this life for the next. Because of that, we can rest in it. El punto clave es que yo soy su hijo. Él es mi padre celestial. I'll close with one scripture. We know how much God loved us. This is from John 4. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels our fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. In Primero de San Juan 4, nosotros sabemos cuánto nos ama Dios y hemos puesto nuestra confianza en su amor. Dios es amor. Y todos los que viven en amor, viven en Dios y Dios vive en ellos. Y el vivir en Dios, nuestro amor crece hasta hacerse perfecto. Por lo tanto, no tendremos temor en la día de juicio, sino que podremos estar ante Dios con confianza porque vivimos como vivió Jesús en este mundo. En esa clase de amor no hay temor, porque el amor perfecto expulsa todo temor. Si tenemos miedo, es por temor al castigo. Y esto muestra que no hemos experimentado plenamente el perfecto amor de Dios. Nos amamos unos a otros porque Él nos amó primero. I love this scripture because it says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she was a Swiss-American psychiatrist. She was a pioneer in near-death studies. And she wrote a book called On Death and Dying and the Stages of Grief. She also was in the beginning stages. She pioneered today's hospice care that we have today. An incredible woman. She wrote this, and I thought this was very interesting, totally appropriate for this. She says, there are only two emotions, love and fear. All positive emotions come from love. All negative emotions from fear. From love flows happiness, contentment, peace, and joy. And from fear comes anger, hate, anxiety, and guilt. It's true that there are only two primary emotions, love and fear. But it's more accurate to say that there's only love or fear. For we cannot feel these two emotions together at exactly the same time. They're opposites. If we're in fear, we are not in a place of love. When we're in a place of love, we cannot be in a place of fear. Isn't that great? With such insight that this lady, you know, I don't know where she is with the Lord or where she was, she passed, but I just found it so interesting that she had a concept there that's so biblical, right?
En la escritura, en clase de amor, no hay temor, porque el amor perfecto expulsa el temor. Hay una señora que se llama Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, era psiquiatría suizo, y ella dijo algunas cosas que estaban muy importantes. Dice, fue pionera del cuidado del hospicio actual. Dice, solo hay dos emociones, el amor y el miedo. Todas las emociones positivas provienen del amor. Todas las emociones negativas, del miedo. Del amor fluye la felicidad, la alegría, la paz y la alegría. Del miedo surge la ira, el odio, la ansiedad y la culpa. Es cierto que solo hay dos emociones principales, el amor y el miedo. Pero es más exacto decir que solo hay amor o miedo, porque no podemos sentir estas cosas, emociones juntas, exactamente al mismo tiempo. Son opuestos. Si tenemos miedo, no estamos en lugar de amor. Cuando estamos en lugar de amor, no podemos estar en un lugar de miedo. And so my encouragement to all of you is that you settle that you have that settled day by day, moment by moment, no matter what's happening in this world, as crazy as it is, that you just recognize that perfect love casts out all fear. Because we're no longer under the fear of judgment. We're no longer having to fear future. We don't have to worry about it. Our future has been taken care of. We can live in the present with the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives us to be able to make a difference in the people's lives. Así, en este día, como dice la Escritura, el amor expulse el temor. No tenemos que temer las cosas de este mundo, porque sabemos que el futuro ya está arreglado por nosotros, por el Espíritu, y podemos enfocarnos en la presente para hacer un cambio en las vidas de las personas. Amén.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Enrique, thank you. In fact, from the bottom of my heart, I'm so thankful you chose that verse. That is a verse that I have chosen to embrace my life and center around, because I have had tons of fear throughout my life. I've also put myself in places where I'd run smack into it head on. And this verse has played a huge part in giving me direction, peace, and most importantly, to love my way through it. Great reminders there. And there's a pro surfer surfed one of the largest waves in the world, as quoted saying, make sure that your own worst enemy doesn't live between your two ears. The powerful suggestion that, you know, your mind is the filter of the heart, and what you let in there, what comes in there sometimes can slow you down or even completely stop you in your tracks. I love great movies. I love epic movies. Have you seen Lord of the Rings? Any of them, right? If you haven't, you need to at least see this clip on YouTube, but Return of the King, which is one of the last ones in the series, Aragorn, who is coming back into himself, gaining strength again to become that king, has to solicit extra help for the battle of all battles. It's at the end. It's against the one true enemy, and he's shorthanded. And he gets some great counsel and advice that he needs some extra help, but he's going to have to go inside this mountain of dead souls. Doesn't sound like a place I want to just venture into for help, okay? But he's got to go in there, and he's got to literally look at an army of the dead. That's what they're called. And he wields a sword that was held by his father in all confidence, saying, I am that heir, and I will have the help that's necessary. Will you be the ones to do it? Restore your dignity. Bring honor to who you are. Join me. What say you? He says. Man, I just get goosebumps on my goosebumps. Fear is a natural response, and without it, we wouldn't survive. It's not healthy, but I'll be sharing some stories next week in some of my personal experiences with fear and what God's had to do to help me harness those things for strength. That's the tricky part. Once you start to understand it, it could be something you tap into. Not being afraid. That's different.
And fear is not being afraid. There's a difference between that and being fearful. And it's natural to be afraid occasionally. It's a defense mechanism that God put in all of us. But to sit here and let a prolonged season of fear, as Enrique was sharing, is just, it's killing you from the inside out. In fact, you're not going to get any help. If anything, you are one of the dead souls, so to speak, eventually in that mountain. Guard against that. I just want to share this real quick and I'm finished. One of the flip sides of fear is commitment. You can spend your life fence sitting because you're frightened of something bad that might happen, or you can launch yourself into it with all conviction, all the intelligence you can come up with, but with the help of God completely. For me, I say meet up with your fears. As pastors, we say go into them, because you have the confidence of your heavenly Father, his Son, and the Spirit, and all the power of that kingdom that comes with them. If you're afraid of sharks, go learn about sharks. Get into the water with one, John. If you respect fear, face it straight on and act anyway. I heard what he was saying in the sermon about these guys that would just run right at the lions as if, I'll meet you in heaven, but I'll be there first. I think it was something else. What you'll find when you act straight on isn't terror. It's exhilaration in the moments that you will never forget. I had a friend of mine, very close pastor, when I was trying to decide, do I move to Catalina from my whole world that I had known for 40 years and was surrounded in a comfort setting. And he looked at me and he said, you know, when I moved from one place all the way across the country, I wasn't sure at the last minute if I did the right thing. I got cold feet even at the last minute. I got fearful. What's this going to do to my family, their social network, their learning, everything they've known? It's all being uprooted. Major, major response from him as he looked at me and he said, just know this, Ian. All things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You combine that with God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. My friends, you go. What say you? You go there. Let's pray this morning. Praise God. We pray for the strength to be thankful for today and the moment, God, to enjoy the now in the midst of challenges, and to thank you for your favor and grace. Jesus, help us to focus completely on what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives. Starve the flesh. We're not alone in our fight against fear. We have the Holy Spirit and the angels. The Holy Spirit and the angels standing with us, in us. Thank you, Jesus, for all you make allowance for in our weaknesses, our failures, our sins, our doubts, our unbelief, or when fear gets into our thoughts or our actions. Jesus, help us to reject arguing or debating with the devil, our flesh and our guilty conscience, and fall upon the love we've heard about this morning, the grace, the mercy, the peace, the righteousness of Jesus, who is our shield and redeemer. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us overcome and delivering us from our fear. And you guys enter into that sentence, whatever your fear is, put it in there right now. He has delivered you. He is the redeemer from it. Help us to respect our enemies, be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I thank you for the integrity of the gospel that's gone out this morning, and we give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you.
precious to God. Generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you, he is for you, he is for you.
You guys have a great day.